There's a code of silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. There's a code of silence and it can't go on.
Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on the 5th of February 2009. For the newcomers, I advise you to go into cuttingthroughthematrix.com, and on the website you can download as many audios as you wish to do of previous talks I've given over the years on history, basically, the history that's not published in the school books that you get. It's not mentioned much by the media either. At least it's never connected by the media. That's more accurate. They give little bits of information, but not the in-depth story on any of them. And I try to give you shortcuts through the talks and use sources, the authorized sources in a sense, because that's what you have to go by to prove that what's happening to other people, if they care to listen. And you'll find that the big boys themselves are very good at publishing books by themselves. They like to boast about how they've pulled off so many coups and revolutions and even set up different types of structural governments across the planet over the last 100-odd years and how they're doing it now, in fact, as we live. Most people don't care because we float through lives and we're fed trivia. But it's happening nonetheless, and it is a controlled movement. It's not hard at all to track it down through time. But say they publish lots of books, and you'll find the main players are always the same family lines, and some of them have been on the go for 50, 60, 70, 80 years even, and still pushing strong like the Rockefellers for the same agenda. It's not money they're after. So I try to give you the shortcuts, and I also look into alanwattsentinel.eu for transcripts of these talks, written in the various languages of Europe. You can download them and print them up, pass them around. Because we do need shortcuts in this day and age. Now, for those who listen, I always ask people to help keep me going. You can donate by looking into cuttingthroughthematrix.com. There's buttons on the website there for donations. And you can also order my books and discs and so on from there as well. That keeps me going. And believe you me, there's not a lot comes in here. The ads you hear on this show and other shows I'm on are to keep the companies going. They pay for the airtime, they pay the engineers, and they pay for equipment and maintenance and so on. And even those with your own personal computer, you'll know that maintenance is always ongoing. Never mind if you have a radio station, it's a lot more expensive. I've been going through over 100 years of history, really. I could go much, much further back into the past, and I did go and touch on it briefly, to do with secret societies and the Enlightenment, as they call it, and how they sprung up to basically, and as basically to a kind of middle-class revolution. They weren't getting enough pieces of the pie, and they wanted to get up there and overthrow kings and nations and religion, which they felt was stifling them. And they formed secret societies because they could not speak out about their open policies of a world society where the elites themselves, the intelligent ones, would rule over the lessers. And that's always been mentioned in secret societies, that very concept of what we now call eugenics. Actually, they've called it bioethics now, since they are in control of the world and us through health care, etc. The eugenicists call themselves bioethics professionals. And they deal with how we should live and die, basically, or even if we should live at all. Because the world has been turned into a secular humanist society, which was planned and spoken and written about 100 years ago. And I'm going to go into that today. Back with more after this break.
Talk toxic heavy metals. They're in the air we breathe, water we drink, our food, products we use, objects we touch, and they negatively impact our health by building up within the body over time. But now, toxic metals can be mobilized in a safe, effective manner with Chelarex from scienceformulas.com. Chelarex is an oral chelator developed from Dr. Alan Greenberg's clinical experience with heavy metal poisoning during his 25 years of medical practice. Chelarex contains absolutely zero synthetic chelation agents, which frequently cause adverse side effects. Chelarex contains all natural ingredients that enhance the body's natural mechanisms for excreting heavy metals and protects against reabsorption. Chelarex effectively mobilizes mercury, aluminum, lead, and 15 other heavy metals. Try Chelarex now from scienceformulas.com with this RBN special offer. Purchase two bottles, get one free with free shipping. Limited time offer. Go to scienceformulas.com. That's scienceformulas.com. Chelarex, chelation of toxic heavy metals the way nature intended.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johngalea.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264. And johngliha.com.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Hi folks, I'm Alan Watts and we're cutting through the matrix. Just mentioning the fact that history is planned, and in fact the future is planned, it's been planned for an awful long time in fact. And we find that articles and books were published a long time ago outlining the plan. It's kind of ongoing, but it's always the same plan and the same strategies to be used. And yet when certain events eventually happen within your own lifetime and you notice them and you remember where you first read it, that this was going to happen maybe 20, 30 years ago, it's never presented that way in the newspapers at the time. It's always presented as though this is the only option that we have and we have to go there. I've talked about the Council on Foreign Relations and its beginnings as a branch of the Royal Institute for International Affairs in Britain. It was also run at that time, a long time ago, by Lord Milner. And before that, Cecil Rhodes basically set the whole organization up. And I've read from Professor Carol Quigley, who was a member of the group. In fact, he was a historian for a while for the society. They keep their own historical records. For one day, they'll publish it when we're all brain dead, and we won't care, you see. And in Tragedy and Hope, and I've read this part before, it's very, very important. Professor Carol Quigley says this from their own records after studying them and updating them for them. This is the book Tragedy and Hope, page 950. He was talking about the fact that most people get confused. They think that this collection of bankers and of very wealthy families, old established families, all working together, people think they're communists. And he says here in page 950, this myth, like all fables, does in fact have a modicum of truth. There does exist and has existed for a generation, it means 60 years. This is printed in the 60s. An international Anglophile network which operates to some extent in the way the radical right believes the communists act. In fact, this network, which we may identify as the round table groups, that's one term they use, they do have round table groups, has no aversion to cooperating with the communists or any other groups. And they did that in the past too. They set up and helped to work with the fascists. And frequently does so. I know of the operations of this network because I've studied it for 20 years and was permitted for 2 years in the early 60s to examine its papers and secret records. And I remember Professor Quigley was an advisor to the State Departments and different departments in the U.S. government and to the military as well, because you must understand your enemy in the military. And he was a historian. He understood the histories of different peoples, their weak points and so on, the social society, their belief systems. He says, I have no aversion to it or to most of its aims and have for much of my life been close to it and to many of its instruments, because they have many front organizations. He says, I've objected both in the past and recently to a few of its policies, notably to its belief that England was an Atlantic rather than a European power and must be allied or even federated with the United States and must remain isolated from Europe. Well, that's all altered now. But it says, in general, my chief difference of opinion is that it wishes to remain unknown. And I believe its role in history is significant enough to be known. And it's said so simplistically there and underrated in a sense, because other books and other historians have gone into these groups without even putting the groups together. And they've shown these characters and the bankers too, who are all part of it, have funded all sides of every war. And it's not because they just want to profit from them, it's to bring out a certain kind of global structural society. It's quite fascinating. So the round tables groups have already been mentioned in this book several times, notably in connection with the formation of the British Commonwealth. That was to be the nucleus of it, still is in a sense. And the discussion of appeasement in chapter 12, the Cliveden set. They had different sets and circles. One of them was called the Cliveden set. At the risk of some repetition, the story will be summarized here, because the American branch of this organization, sometimes called the Eastern Establishment, is actually the CFR, has played a very significant role in the history of the United States in the last generation. The round table groups were semi-secret discussion and lobbying groups organized by Lionel Curtis, Philip H. Kerr, who was Lord Lothian, and Sir William S. Maris, 1908-1911. This was done on behalf of Lord Milner, the dominant trustee of the Rhodes Trust in the two decades, 1905 to 1925. What he mentions here is what he wants you to know, being a member, because he doesn't mention that Lord Milner was also one of the biggest bankers in England. And he was also, by the way, he took over the trustee of the Rhodes Scholarship and worked it with Lord Rothschild, because Rothschild was actually left a will for Cecil Rhodes for world government and training Rhodes Scholars for and how to bring in world government. And it's still going on today. But it's quite fascinating, because when you go into other books on this, you'll find, like Professor Anthony Sutton, wrote Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. He also wrote Who Financed Hitler? And he came away with a different idea, that was just bankers doing it because they hate having empires, different empires at war with each other. It's bad for business. And yet he doesn't really realize what he's got his hands on in all his investigations, because he mentions all the same names that belong to the CFR and the Royal Institute for International Affairs, and all the same bankers and foundations that fund the wars in his own books. It's all the same people. And these are the same people, as I mentioned before, the same families you'll find in the CIA. And before that, they were in the OSS. And in the British side, they were in MI5 and MI6. In Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, he goes in how the Wall Street companies which again were mainly funded and pushed by the front organizations, like the Rockefeller Group, were financing the setting up of the Bolsheviks. They financed them from the beginning. Russia was financed from the West from its birth as a Soviet empire, or Bolshevik turned Soviet, right through to a supposed collapse. It could not even feed itself. And he mentions on page 164, this is Professor Sutton, or Anthony Sutton of Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. He says, United Americans formed to fight communism. And I've warned people before about big groups that you think are going to oppose that, which you oppose, and so you join them. They set them up in advance. And here's an ideal tactic right here, he says. And this is important to today because they're using the same tactics today. You always use the same tactics, as Plato said, because they'll always work again if they worked before, if you introduce them in the same formula. He says, in 1920, an organization called United Americans was founded. It was limited to citizens of the United States and planned for 5 million members, whose sole purpose would be to combat the teachings of the socialists, the communists, the IWW, the Russian organizations, and radical farmers' societies. In other words, United Americans was to fight all those institutions and groups believed to be anti-capitalist. The officers of the preliminary organization established to build up United Americans, this great patriotic group, were Alan Walker of the Guaranteed Trust Company. You know, if you listen, you'll see here the same companies foundations that Professor Quigley was talking about. Daniel Willard, president of the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad, H&H Westinghouse of Westinghouse Air Brake Company, Otto H. Kahn of Kuhn, Loeb and Company, that was set up really as a Rothschild front, and American International Corporation. These Wall Streeters were backed up by assorted university presidents and Newton W. Gilbert, former governor of the Philippines. Obviously, United Americans was at first glance exactly the kind of organization that establishment capitalists would be expected to finance and join. Its formation should have brought no great surprise. But on the other hand, as we've already seen, these financiers were so deeply involved in supporting the new Soviet regime in Russia, although this support was behind the scenes. Now listen to this, recorded only in government files and not to be made public for 50 years. In a free society, you think you've ever been free? As part of United Americans, Walker, Willard, Westinghouse, and Kahn were playing a double game. Otto Kahn, a founder of the anti-communist organization, was reported by the British socialist J. H. Thomas as having his face towards the light. Kahn wrote the preface to Thomas's book. In 1924, Otto Kahn addressed the League for Industrial Democracy, that was a communist organization, and professed common objectives with the activist socialist group. The Baltimore and Ohio Railroad, Willard's employer, was active in the development of Russia during the 1920s. Westinghouse, 1920, the year United Americans was founded, was operating a plant in Russia that had been exempted from nationalization, and the role of guaranteed trust has already been minutely described. So here's the same guys forming a patriotic group for the publics to believe in, and funding the revolution, the ongoing revolution in Russia at the same time, and making a profit from it at the same time. But what's interesting too is that he says here, and he goes into this in detail too, in a lot of detail. He says, but why allow Russia to become a competitor? This is 178, page 178, and a challenge for U.S. supremacy. In the late 19th century, Morgan, Rockefeller, and Guggenheim had demonstrated their monopolistic proclivities. And that's the key to all of these guys. They're monopolists. And you think e pluribus unum means out of many one for people. No, it means for corporations and the world. And I'm going to go into that when I come back from this break.
special roast hemp coffee from hempusa.org. Our coffee grows in the dense volcanic-rich soil, herbicide and pesticide-free, and in the high altitudes of Guatemala, in conditions that are ideal for natural growth of this high-quality coffee. Try our mellow cup of coffee that is ground and roasted with 25% hemp seed from Canada. With a wonderful nutty flavor that contains 18% protein, our roasters bring a unique flavor that makes this the best cup of coffee you'll ever have. Try our new special roast hemp coffee from hempusa.org and wake up your brain without the jitters. Our customers look forward to their next cup of hemp coffee. Visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608 and see if you'll change your mind about drinking coffee again. Taste the difference. Feel the difference at hempusa.org today.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi folks, I'm Alan Watts. This is Cutting Through the Matrix. Just putting a few books together to show you the how it's all interconnected and how knowledge is truly scattered, and even people who are bookworms and real detectives like Anthony Sutton kind of miss the mark at times. They get all the facts right, but they come to sometimes the wrong conclusions because they don't know about the other books as well. They miss some books and they come to their own conclusions, thinking it's all about money and simply power. But remember, going back to Carl Quigley, he talked about the group that started off as a Cecil Rhodes Foundation that was already chartered by the British Crown. And he had the backing of the British Empire, in a sense. It would work outside of politics. It could bypass politics. Margaret Thatcher said she belonged to the group that came out of it, the Royal Institute for International Affairs. She said, "We constitute a parallel government worldwide. It's not answerable to the public. Democracy is too slow. We can't get things done because people are arguing all the time. So they have plans made. They want to have them carried out. So they bypass democracy altogether." And we will look at the Council on Foreign Relations, the American cousin of it. It's just a branch. They work on the same agenda, the exact same agenda, with front organizations, many front organizations working across the world. And they use geopolitics, as it's called. Geopolitics is long-term strategy where you study your prey, your victim, the culture, the ancient culture, the phases the culture has gone through. And you work out your strategy according to their history in the culture for long-term goals. And that's how it's all put together. Because in his book here, Sutton talks about the fact that, as I say, they financed the Russian Revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution. It's a few bankers, big bankers with foundations as well, onto philanthropy, of course, all philanthropists. And they did it, of course, to bring world peace, they called it, world peace. But they also wanted world socialism. Actually, they wanted collectivism. But they also profit massively from it, because whatever they give into a country in money, they take out 100-fold or more. He says here, this is Mrs. Sutton on 173 of this book, the gigantic Russian market was to be converted into a captive market and a technical colony to be exploited by a few high-powered American financiers and the corporations under their control. What the Interstate Commerce Commission and the Federal Trade Commission under the thumb of American industry could achieve for that industry at home, a planned socialist government could achieve for it abroad, giving suitable support and inducements from Wall Street and Washington, D.C. And he has all the records here, by the way. He doesn't just guess at this stuff. He's got it all from the government. As I say, they kept it secret for 50 years. What do you think they're keeping secret from you now? About the Vietnam War and the Korean War and all the rest of it. They're still under wraps. See, we never know the reasons, the real reasons why anything happens while we live. That's how the system is run. On page 176, and this is Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution by Sutton, he goes into some of the early players who were working with the Council on Foreign Relations and the British establishment on this world agenda. He says, as Jennings C. Wise has written, historians must never forget that Woodrow Wilson, President Woodrow Wilson, the guy who set up the League of Nations, precursor of the United Nations, made it possible for Leon Trotsky to enter Russia with an American passport. Trotsky literally was going over to Russia to help start the revolution with suitcases full of money from the U.S. banks, the bankers, Baruch and all these guys. He was stopped at Halifax in Canada and put in the little prison near the docks. And President Wilson literally sent up an express guy with a passport for him to allow him to get out of the country and get the revolution going. Quite something, eh? And that's in the Canadian records here. So Leon Trotsky has also declared himself an internationalist, and here Sutton's drawing the similarities between the revolutionaries and the big bankers. They're both internationalists. He says, we've remarked with some interest his high-level internationalist connections, or at least his friends in Canada. Trotsky then was not pro-Russian or pro-Allied or pro-German, as many have tried to make him out to be. Trotsky was for world revolution, for world dictatorship. He was, in one world, an internationalist. Bolsheviks and bankers have this significant common ground, internationalism. Revolution and international finance are not at all inconsistent if the result of revolution is to establish more centralized authority. It's essential for them. Centralized authority, that's what we have across the whole Western world now. International finance prefers to deal with central governments. The last thing the banking community wants is laissez-faire economy and decentralized power, because these would disperse power. This, therefore, is an explanation that fits the evidence. This handful of bankers and promoters was not Bolshevik or communist or socialist or Democrat or even American. Let's just pop back to Tragedy and Hope. And it really tells you on page 950 that they're often accused of being communists, the radical right thinks that's how they are, they're far left wingers. Here is Sutton telling you no. It's a different thing altogether. Back with more after these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johngalea.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johngalia.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix, just tying some ends together to show you how the group has operated in the past and how they're operating today. In fact, I've got a stack of books around here at the present time. They're dealing with them and their operations right now, what they're doing today and where they're going. Same people, same groups. But Professor Sutton thinks it's merely to do with money and power and our worlds without any restrictions for themselves, which is completely wrong. As Professor Quigley said, they appear to do this, they appear to be all left-wing, but they have a different agenda altogether. This is what Sutton says on page 176. He says, basically, they're trying to create a world of collectivism. He says, this therefore is an explanation that fits the evidence. The handful of bankers and promoters was not Bolshevik, communist, socialist, Democrat, or even American. Above all else, these men wanted markets, preferably captive international markets, and a monopoly of the captive world market as the ultimate goal. They wanted markets that could be exploited monopolistically without fear of competing or competition from Russians, Germans, or anyone else, including American businessmen outside the charmed circle. This closed group was apolitical and immoral. In 1917, it had a single-minded objective, a captive market in Russia, all presented under and intellectually protected by the shelter of a league to enforce the peace. So they set up the League of Nations, you see. Wall Street did indeed achieve its goal. American firms controlled by the syndicate were later to go on and build the Soviet Union, and today are well on their way to bringing the Soviet military-industrial complex into the age of computers. This was written in the 70s, I think. daily objective is still alive and well. John D. Rockefeller expounds it in his book, The Second American Revolution, which sports a five-pointed star on the title page. The book contains a naked plea for humanism. Remember I mentioned that the other day? Secular humanism is to be pushed on the public of the planet. And I was reading from Charles Galton Darwin's book, and that's what he said. There'll be a single universal culture. And here is, they call it humanism, secular humanism, from Rockefeller. It says, that is, from Rockefeller's book, a plea that our first priority is to work for others. Cecil Rhodes said that too. A world where the people will serve the world state. They'll serve the world state. It says here, in other words, a plea for collectivism. Now, let's tie that in with the other front organization that came up with the scam of global warming, the Club of Rome. That's one of their many front groups. In the 1970s, the founders came up with the idea of how to get a world tax and unite the planet under a threat from out there or anywhere. And they came up with the idea of global warming, said that would fit the bill. But they also said they wanted to bring in a world of collectivism, a collectivist society. After studying the Soviet system and every other system, they thought collectivism was the way to go. What's happening now? The banks in Britain and elsewhere are buying up the houses and renting them out to people. Only people who lived in the Soviet system can recognize what's happening here and everywhere else. It says here, this is still from Rockefeller's little book, humanism is collectivism. That's what he said. Humanism is collectivism. And he's still trotting across the planet. He's the guy that's at every South American meeting to do with the amalgamation of the Americas. He funds every group down there. Comes from Foreign Relations Trilateral Commission. Again, going back through the time, back to when it was Lord Milner's group in the Round Table Society. It's got many different names. It's the same organization, the Royal Institute for International Affairs. It says it's notable, this is again going back to Professor from, let me check my books here. Anthony Sutton. I've got four books in front of me. It says here, it's notable that Rockefellers who have promoted this humanistic idea for a century have not turned their own property over to others. Presumably it is implicit in the recommendation that we all work for the Rockefellers. Rockefeller's book promotes collectivism under the guises of cautious conservationism and the public good, because of the public good. It is in effect a plea for the continuation of the earlier Morgan Rockefeller support of collectivist enterprises and mass subversion of individual rights. What was it they said the other day? From Galton Darwin's book, he says, we must end individualism. What does the United Nations say? They've got to end individualism. Subversion of individual rights. From Sutton's book. In brief, the public good has been and is today used as a device and an excuse for self-aggrandizement by an elitist circle that pleads for world peace and human decency. But so long as the reader looks at world history in terms of an inexorable Marxian conflict between capitalism and communism, the objectives of such an alliance between international finance and international revolution remain elusive. You've got to stop using the terms and just look above it all, look down at it, just to see what's really happening. Don't be confused by terms. To so will the ludicrousness of promotion of the public good by plunderers, and these guys all got their starts by plundering, all of them. And I mean real wars of plunder. It says, if these alliances still elude the reader, then he should ponder the obvious fact that these same international interests and promoters are always willing to determine what other people should do, but are signally unwilling to be the first in line to give up their own wealth and power. Their mouths are open, their pockets are closed. Now, at the same time that these boys, the CFR and so on, the same whole group of them with bankers in it, same family bankers, with their foundations and philanthropy, they were already setting up in the 1920s, at the same time as we're still doing it with the Soviet Union, Mussolini. And all of the data and the money they sent to him, from whom, etc., same boys, is all documented in this book, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution. It's incredible knowledge, incredible knowledge. Here's a guy who was big as a, he was a mover and shaker. It was called Frederick C. Howe. I think he was even used in Canada later on in World War II. He was a mover and shaker. He knew how to get whole nations working for him. And it says, this technique was used by the monopolist to gauge society, was set forth in the early 20th century by Frederick C. Howe in The Confessions of a Monopolist, excellent book. First said how politics is a necessary part of business. To control industries, it's necessary to control Congress and the regulators, and thus make society go to work for you, the monopolist. So according to Howe, the two principles of a successful monopolist are, first, let society work for you, and second, make a business of politics. These, wrote Howe, are the basic rules of big business. And that's exactly what they do. They get the nation working for them. And of course, going back up the page, Rockefeller wants a world where people will serve others. He doesn't say all people, he just says people will serve others, because he won't be serving anybody. That's how it works. But people should try and get hold of the book, and remember, you'll probably get used ones as well, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution by Anthony G. or C. Sutton. Excellent one to read. And it takes me right down to the present day, because I was thinking earlier about the video I mentioned last week, and I put the link on my site to a Brzezinski 30 years ago in the 70s, who was promoting jihad in Afghanistan and telling them it was a holy war and God was on their side. Because at that time, in geopolitics, you see, he and the boys in the Council on Foreign Relations and Trilateral Commission wanted to get a completely united Europe, including all of those regions too. And there were certain people standing in the way. So how do you get all changed? Get a war going with Russia. And he knew by arming the Afghanistans that Russia would have to come in, which they did. And Afghanistan for years was bombed incredibly from the air and had terrible things done on them. I remember seeing in the papers when Britain, MI6 and so on, was putting all the propaganda out. They were declaring the heroes of Afghanistan. They showed you these tribesmen emerging from shelters in the mountains. And there was all these unexploded bombs all over the place stuck in the ground from a raid. And then these guys would dismantle the bombs and take all the explosives out of them and use them. So they were the heroes then, you see. So Brzezinski and others, the guy who was still behind Obama and playing the world, playing with China and so on, long-term strategy, knew what he was doing. And, of course, when Russia goes out, what happens? When they go down, supposedly, and just fall apart and a wall comes down, we're all in there. The West's all in there, doing the same thing to the Afghanis as Russia was doing. And suddenly the Afghanis are bad guys again. Remember Orwell said, who are we fighting today? East Asia, West Asia? They're the good guys, bad guys. You don't know. They keep changing. Because it's long-term strategy. After all, if the Afghanis were praised for fiercely fighting for their independence back in the 70s against the bad Russian bear, how come they're bad guys today for trying to do the same thing and hold on to their independence? Geopolitics. And I'll guarantee you, Mr. Brzezinski would know exactly how long Russia would be in there. And he'd also know that down the road, the US and Canada would be in there too, afterwards. This is how they play it. This is how they play it. You know, a delegation went to the Soviet Union 15 years before the wall came down and told the president, the Soviet Union, and Rockefeller, by the way, was one of them, went over there, that there'd be no more, there'd be a complete European Union in 15 years with a parliament. And therefore, there's no point in carrying on with the Soviet Union. And I've got the documentation here as well. Why is Mr. Rockefeller all over the planet when he's not elected to anything by the public? With his massive Council on Foreign Relations group, the group that you have to be asked into, and almost every major reporter is a member of it. Every TV station and newspaper owner is a member of it. Every magazine editor is a member of it. I don't know how many politicians are members of it. And we think we've got democracy. Here's a book you should look at. It's called Zygmunt Brzezinski, America and the World, moderated by David Ignatius. And it's by Brent Scowcroft. Now, you can tell by the back page, it's for the public to believe in. It's like one of these question and answer things they've worked out amongst themselves. Because it gives you Brzezinski, formerly President Carter's National Security Advisor, the NSA, Counselor and Trustee at the Center for Strategic and International Studies and Professor at John Hopkins University. And it has Brent Scowcroft, served as National Security Advisor to Presidents George H.W. Bush and Gerald Ford, and as military assistant to President Nixon. He's president of the Scowcroft Group, an international business and financial advisory firm. He's also the co-author with former President George H.W. Bush. Then David Ignatius writes a twice-weekly column for the Washington Post, previously executive director of the International Herald Tribune. So he'd be, they're all CFR, you see, in trilateral. So remember, they're writing stuff for the public consumption, but they do give you some parts of the strategy. Because here's the same Brzezinski that was setting up jihad for so that Russia would come in to Afghanistan. And he's talking about China and so on in this book. And he says here, but they're talking about China and how it goes with democracy. He says, your potential rival, he says, and this is page 116, America and the World. He says, ruthless in the pursuit of their interests. When you say the Chinese are ruthless in the pursuit of their interests, aren't you also describing the United States? Our business operations internationally are very energetic, to put it euphemistically. Are we not disinclined to promote our interests to the maximum? But inherently, the notion of a rival, business rival, includes the notion of restraint. It's not the same thing as ruthless imperial military competition, which ends up in a collision. And I think that thought, that realization, guides both us and the Chinese. Now remember, the group that he works for set up modern China. They set up communist China. Because the Royal Institute for International Affairs and the CFR had their Institute for Pacific Relations. Another front group, it was explained here by In Tragedy and Hope again. And the whole idea was to get that whole region, including Australia, New Zealand, all united under one big trading bloc. And they were at that for 70 years. 70 years, and it's still ongoing. So here's Brzezinski, who knows all this stuff. No, he's talking to a dumbed-down public that mainly don't know this stuff. And he's giving you the childish version, the very, very childish version. He says, the second point, we know more or less how our leadership operates. We know much less about their leadership, but my own experience in dealing with leadership is that it is remarkably sophisticated, eager to learn, and quite deliberate in its effort to understand realities. That was my first impression when I met Deng Xiaoping. At the time, we were able to develop a quasi-secret... Now, listen to this. Now, remember, China was then the bad guy. You also got to get a bad guy. And he's talking about 30 years ago, when it was a bad guy. At the time, we were able to develop a quasi-secret alliance against the Soviet Union. Now, I thought they were both communist. Didn't we all think that at the time? It wasn't long after the Korean War. The Vietnam War was still going on in the 70s. So here's Brzezinski over there with a quasi-secret alliance with the Chinese against the Soviet Union. Why? Because they'd already set up China to be the manufacturer of the world. That was still to come. This is from Brzezinski's own words, right? Which involved joint intelligence operations and joint assistance to the resistance in Afghanistan. So they were helping the Afghanis at that time fight the Russians. They brought on the war with Russia by arming the Afghanis and telling them to have jihad. And here he's over, and then after he's telling these guys over in Afghanistan, it's a holy war, God's on your side. He runs off to China And there he is with the top intelligence experts of China working covertly against Russia. This is incredible geopolitics. And he says here, and while generally I'm impressed by the very deliberate nature of the Chinese leadership's effort to educate themselves, let me cite you one specific example that's been intriguing me. For about 5 years now, the Chinese leadership has held at the highest level, listen to this, a seminar for the top leaders, just for the top leaders like our National Security Council. So they've got a clone set up in China of how it works here. Because they get the real dope on what's happening, not the rubbish we get in newspapers. He says it's a full-day session led by some specialists. All the top leaders have to attend, and here are some of the topics they've addressed. I'll be back with more of this after this break.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing how to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264 and johnglia.com.
Hi folks, I am Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix, just tying a few books together, which only reinforces that which I've already been saying, that a long time ago a particular group arose comprising of very, very important, incredibly rich people, bankers, with all the top aristocratic families of Britain and the US initially. That's where it started. But now it's a club across the planet of all elites, you see, going into a world society of a collectivist nature. With all of the trends set out that would happen by Charles Galton Darwin, including depopulation and so on. long-term strategy geopolitics. And continuing with Brzezinski here in the book America and the World, he says that Trump, this session is just for the top leaders of China, very secretive. It's just the same as they have in the U.S. Stuff they don't put in the papers, doesn't get mentioned to Congress. And what they were talking about was the importance of constitution and understanding the rule of law, something very alien to their communist dictatorship. But by the way, he praises exactly what I've been saying. He praises the communist system to get it, bringing them up to speed and modernizing them quickly. That's exactly what they did with the Soviet Union. That was part of it. And also amalgamating all the small provinces into one big one with a centralized government. Karl Marx talked about that very strategy. It was necessary too. And here they are doing it. They've done it all. A slightly different technique for different parts of the world, but they always get it in the same way at the end. It becomes the same. And what they were also discussing was the rise and fall of imperial powers, something all strategists must study. And then on page 119, which ties into yesterday's talk, Brzezinski was talking to Jiang Zemin in China. It says, just a footnote to what Brent said, and then an answer to your question. When I was last in China a couple of months ago, a dinner was given for me by Jiang Zemin, the former president. I asked him, what's the biggest problem you face in China? And he said, too many Chinese. He says, in a way, that's a good answer. The floating unemployed population is now about 200 million. See, they're moving them all off the land, sometimes 200 million at a time off the land into the cities. That's what's in the newspapers. They're clearing the just like they're doing everywhere else across the world, getting them all into the cities as we can go down gradually together, worldwide. It is accepted it floats from place to place because all this is going on. New cities are growing, huge interstate highway system, fantastic, like ours. But there's no cars on them yet. Brzezinski says there's no cars in it. That's right. A system already about 40,000 miles. Ours, built in the 1950s and 60s, is 65,000 miles. The Russians are building their first superhighway from Moscow to St. Petersburg right now, and their very first. And you still drive on gravel when you try to drive from Moscow to Vladivostok. But on this larger issue of how we deal with the Chinese, first of all, with respect, this is not a civilization that's going to accommodate easily to hectoring or lecturing from us. The Chinese are profoundly conscious of their history and culture, and with justification. I should really continue with this maybe tomorrow, because China isn't ruling China. China was set up by the West, and it's still being managed by guys like Brzezinski and others of his kind who deal with them. We set up the modern China, and we didn't know it. So that's it from Hamish myself tonight from Ontario, Canada. It's good night, and may your God or your gods go with you.
With recent internet